To pray is to take notice of wonder. To regain the sense of mystery that animates all beings, the divine margin in all attainments, prayer is our humble answer to the incomprehensible, the surprise of living. Rabbi Heschel. I think prayer is a humbling experience. It's humbling because what's affirming is something we can do, achievement. And prayer is, make up a word, a receivement. It's an experience of letting God give me myself, but not in a selfish way, not in approval or kind of an egocentric sense that I'm really pleasing God. No. We don't please God or displease God. That's a nice human concept, but the reality is that God is so incomprehensible. It's so other. The otherliness of God. We know the concept of other. It's different from this. There's a difference. This and that. This is different from that. God is so other that even what we mean by other is other than that. Imagine that. So all we know is love, and we believe that Jesus came to meet us in our humanity and not dispense, but it actually increase the tension between God and us. There is a tension. All relationships, in case you haven't noticed, all relationships create tension. Even a relationship with yourself, the relationship between your spirit and your flesh, the relationship between what you desire and what you can do. As they say, there's many a slip between the cup and the lip. We have a desire, we can't fulfill it. What I want to do, I don't do that, Paul says. There's a tension between persons. There's a tension between you and other drivers. Thomas Friedman from St. Louis Park writes nationally and writes for the New York Times a lot. He, in his book, a very good book, by the way, it's something like Thank You for Being Late, about the acceleration of life. But he said he was at a meeting and a woman came in. He was in St. Louis Park visiting home, and he was at a meeting and this woman came in. And he was talking about Minnesota nice. And she was so mad. She said, "I'm so mad that nasty fellow cut me off out on the crosstown. I almost peeped my horn at him." Your relationship with your car, with your computer, eventually it's going to cause tension. Jesus came to put us in tension. But he says, "I come that you may have peace." But I'm not taking away from the human experience of tension. It becomes a way of praying then, a part of the relationship. But Jesus comes not to take us out of our humanity, but comes as light, as I said. And in the beginning of John's Gospel, in the very first chapter, through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. Chapter 1, verse 4. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So he comes as light, and in John's Gospel we'll see, for instance, good things, in John's Gospel, good things happen in the daytime, and not so good things happen at night. What Jesus came to do, part of the love of God, part of the everything has the invitation to say thank you or no thank you, or I'm with you or I'm not. Everything is an invitation in life. And Jesus comes not to convince us nor to convict us, but to invite us to exercise our freedom to say yes or no. And he comes as light and says, this is a way. I am the truth and the life, but I am the way for you to live with your humanity and the tensions that are caused by being human. So at the beginning, he says, John's Gospel begins in the same way as Genesis, in the beginning. And the very first thing is, let there be light. Let there be a removal of chaos. So one of the ways to look at Jesus is the way out of chaos to order. So that chaos was, this is the Genesis idea, there was chaos and he came to bring order. So let there be light, and Jesus comes as light. So there's a great parallel between Genesis and John's Gospel, and we'll see it. Part of the way of Jesus is to bring about peacefulness in our lives, with tension, yes, but a way of seeing what life is. Life, human life is a very humbling experience, considering that we so long for the divine. We long to be God, if you haven't noticed in yourself. We long to be the agents of bringing order out of chaos. We are the agents of control, creation. What Jesus, we pray with Jesus, is letting him, in John's Gospel, he says, he pitched his tent among us, he dwelt among us. Let him dwell with me in the uniqueness of myself. One of the great things, I teach a course at Creighton University on the exercises, and one of the, for senior students, and one of the big chaotic experiences that they write about and talk about and really try to confront in themselves, they, for the most part, their chaos, now these are 22-year-old men and women, they come to the awareness of how much they live in competition both with others and with themselves, that they are so influenced by what other people are going to think of them. Now they have gone through this in different stages since probably second grade, but the real freedom that they come to is their uniqueness, that they don't have to be similar to everyone else. or exactly like everyone else, wearing this and saying this and doing this activity. And they will talk about how the dictates of others has caused chaos in their life, confusion between who they really are and who other people want them to be or they think other people want them to be. But each of us tends towards chaos. What do I mean by chaos? Disorder, trouble, tension, depression. We tend towards, it's like a garden. You can weed it, but there's always weeds. It needs care. And prayer is the time we give for caring about our spirits. But we have to be aware of the tension is going to be caused by, you can get accustomed, very easily accustomed to your chaos. And so people with addictions or whatever, they live with it, but it's chaotic for them. Chaos is, I hope I can say this, chaos, when you know it in yourself, is that which isolates you from others. Say for an alcoholic, I'm not an alcoholic, but I've dealt with many. They come to the awareness that the chaos is about time. They have to enter into the state of altered state that alcohol provides. It dominates time. They've got to be home by 5, or they have to stay away from these people or doing that. I can't. Everything is oriented. When one thing orients you, one supreme thing orients you, it's chaotic. It's going to enter you into chaos. So that I think, and order is being in harmony with the other realities, being in harmony with everything. Now, one of the chaotic things is that the disappointment that we are to ourselves, and the disappointment then with ourselves, we also become disappointed that others can't do away with my disappointment in myself, if that makes sense. That I ask alcohol or this person or those persons or this experience to help me avoid the disappointment with myself. I think spirituality is how I live with the disappointment that is natural to us. I think there is a natural, and in some ways it's a holy disappointment that in a sense changes the name from disappointment to reality. I am fragile. Now, I don't want other people to see it, of course, no, because what might they think? So I look at the necessity of appearance. How do I appear? And how does that work with how I really am? Can I live with my limitations, I guess? That maybe our major disappointment is in the experience that everything is limited. And we long for infinity. That's the truth. We long for infinity. We long for totality. And everything and everyone is a disappointment in that sense. It can't fulfill me. I do that with young people when I'm witnessing their marriage. You know, in the homily, I always say, you are going to be a disappointment to each other. Because what you really like is, you can fulfill me. You're going to complete me. You're going to bring about heaven in life. Well, that probably, the lie of that is probably experienced by the time they cut the cake. You didn't cut it right. You're supposed to have the sharp side up like this. Well, I'm just fascinated by your beauty. I just did this wrong. We so long for limitless, the beyondness. That's a very holy thing. So that I call it disappointment, but it's the honesty that everything is not what I long for. You are not what I long for. But you have such a promise to do it. You take me almost. And then you fail me. You being spouse, friend, car, book. That realization is, I think, where prayer begins. I wonder then at everything. And because it's limited, I can say, I don't want to be part of that. I don't want something. I don't like fractions. I like whole numbers. I like round and beautiful. And when I can let go of that expectation, I can allow us humbly to accept what it really is. And so for Ignatius, says, spend some time with the limited beauty in things. They're invitations. They're hints that's up ahead. No, I want it now. Then I'll be satisfied. That's precisely it. That I can't give you anything that will satisfy you now. Because you'll make a god of it. So that everything will be un-god. But good. But not perfect. Everything's going to be a fraction. A 1/16. And we hate fractions. 1/16 of 1/3. What is that? We don't like it. We didn't like it when we learned about it. Whole numbers. Give me the total now. I want it all. No, can I be grateful for the end? The Culver's milkshake ends. The straw makes a funny noise. The bottom, and you start eating the plastic, hoping that there's one more drop of raspberry swirl. Can I praise God for limited? That's what Ignatius really says. And chaos is how you demand the wholeness and completion and the perfect. And that demanding is not a creative tension. It's destructive. It's chaotic. So that the apostles, when they in John 1:35, there, they say, "Where do you stay? We want answers." And he says, "No, I won't give you answers. I'll give you invitations." And all the rest of the gospel and John's gospel is all invitation. It's always going to be mystery and surprise and partial. Keep coming. And in our North American, have it all, we deserve it all culture, spirituality has a problem and culture has a problem with spirituality. How do you live? How do you find a happiness with a fraction, with a spouse or a family member that is very limited? He or she is 1/16 of 1/3. You see, no. I will distance myself from you because I can't handle fractions. I can only deal with the perfect, because when I deal with the perfect or the illusion that is perfect, then I look perfect. But your 1/3, your 1/16 of 1/3 makes me see mine. And I don't like seeing mine, and you show me mine. So I will distance myself from anything that is partial. I will distance myself from anything that shows me my limitations. But I think that's where prayer is. And it is how to let God give me prayer and pray over me as I wonder at how everything is an invitation, and everything is not completing me. Can I be grateful for that? Yes, I can. Once I let go of my expectations, I can have expectations when they become demands. You have to be this way, and this has to be this way. Why? Because if you are this way for me, then I will not have to experience my limitation of dealing with yours. You see? So, you know, any adventure, we love to fish in a fish tank, you know, where there's all kinds of hungry fish, and I catch a fish every time I put my hook in there. That's a tremendous affirmation of myself as a fisherman. The only problem is, It's not real. It's make-believe. And maybe we deal with the make-believe, and that's what causes us chaos. But here comes Jesus saying, I want to be with you where you really are, and I will show you the way of accepting the human condition. But it's an adventure to experience the human condition. I'm not in control of it. I'm not in control of mine, and I'm not in control of yours. Can I live with the surprise? Can I live with the adventure, or do I just bottle myself up? No adventure. Nope. I'm going to be in perfect control of things. So Ignatius says, can you love creation as it is just broken? Sometimes it comes close to being perfect, but it will end. It will not complete you. Everything has within it then an embedded invitation to go beyond it. Everyone you ever knew, you would want more from that person. You want that person to be more completing of you. That's very normal and very human. And God says, good, you will want that, and I am the beyond of everything. And so that everything is limited, everything, God will never give us anything that will make God obsolete. There's a hole in everything, and you'll find it. There's a vacancy in everyone, in every group, in every human experience. And they can come so close. And Ignatius would ask us at the beginning of the exercises, can you reverence, listen to that word, can you reverence the gift of God's love for you, even though it's limited? Even though your longing for fullness will be frustrated by the broken, the fracture of it. Can you reverence it? Can you let it be a blessing? And can you deal with it with its limitations? Well, that's a real challenge. Everything, as it says at the beginning of John's Gospel, everything in the beginning was created by God through Christ. Everything was in Him. And it's a gift. And the let there be light is, I want you to see it. See it for what it is and what it can't be. That's, in a way, that's what holiness is, letting things be what they are, letting her or him or me or them or it, let them be what they are and not demand that they be more. We would hope that they could be more, and it might be, I mean, some chaos in us is how we try to recreate other people. It's called codependence, where I get sick or disordered or chaotic by trying to bring you out of chaos. No, that's a loving desire, that everyone be good and holy and healthy, but it can't be. And to sometimes we say, I can't do anymore. God's got to do it. I said, yeah, God's been trying to do it before you tried to do it. Well, we'll come back to that. It's about letting things be gifts and reverence them and see God's fingerprints in them, in it, and receive them as sacraments. Broken, but a blessing nevertheless. So come and see. You might want to read the first two chapters of Genesis, just review it. It's just the Jewish explanation of creation. And it's okay. Every culture has, every religion has its way. But it's just a poetic attempt at struggling with mystery. And of course, we don't like mystery. We like it explained. Please give us the manual. So pray with looking around at things and seeing them. We say that in Ignatian spirituality, seeing God in everything. That's a nice phrase. The truth is, it's seeing God, seeing you in everything. Seeing the invitation of God to you to receive it, to be grateful for it, and to wonder at it. Amazing that we have life. And we have such few days to do it, to see it and say, wow. To bow our head. Yes.